This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening. It's Monday night for a change, obviously, because we were playing in the final match of the season away at Anfield, Jurgen Klopp's last game in charge of Liverpool yesterday. So we're running this on Monday evening. So hopefully you can join us. We normally have a lot of regulars that join us on the Sunday. So if you're able to join us live, great. If you're going to be watching this on catch-up or listening to on the podcast, welcome to. We've got fantastic guests tonight that I'm going to introduce you to. But before we get started on that, I do want to say a big, massive thank you, as always, to Creation Wolf, who power Extra Time. They can supply the industry's and latest, most advanced digital solutions. If you've got a company or a brand, they'll take your online presence and digital capabilities to the next level. You can find them on creationwolf.com. Now, in this particular video, we are going to be talking, of course, looking at the talking points from the game yesterday. It finished Liverpool 2, Wolves 0. Man of the match, performance rating, highlights. Looking at what now, the season's over. There's a charity game organised by the Fancast at Molineux for Mind Mental Health that's going to be taking place on Friday. And we're going to be, the fun question that we're going to be asking is what everyone else's other sports or any other sporting antidotes they want to share with us. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my guests this evening. We have the voice of reason. He is back. How are you doing, Jack?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. You now, I've just been talking to Jack offline just, and he's been telling me that he's got a lot under a lot of stress at the moment because you're a teacher and you've got the dreaded Ofsted in tomorrow, ain't you, mate?
We have, yeah. Obviously, we had the call this morning, so it's not panic stations at work because we kind of know what we're good at and we know what we're doing, but it's kind of, there's a little bit of nervous energy, should we say, around at the minute. So it's about channeling that into the right areas. And I think sometimes you can almost do too much and you can kind of veer off what you normally do to try and make an impression. So, excuse
they
me.
They literally just give you a day's notice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they literally call and say, we're coming in tomorrow and this is what we want to watch. And this
and
is
then
what
everyone
we...
is in, panicking, running
a little
around.
Bit, yeah. It's a bit like, you know, the scene in The Office when the fire alarm goes off and Michael Scott comes out and goes, everybody's like, oh. It's a bit like that. So, but yeah, fingers crossed it all goes well, and I'm sure it will do. So, you know, like
absolutely.
I said,
well, mate, to be honest, after all the stress and everything of the season, you think, you know what, I have a bit of calmness now, and then the next day Ofsted are coming in and you've got to
absolutely
worry about that.
We had SATs last week with the year sixes, and that's obviously, that brings its own challenges, and then you're thinking, okay, we've got a week to go until half term, let's just have a nice calm end into the half term, but you know, there's a big spanner that they've just thrown in. So, but it's been due for a while, so it's good. Get it done.
Fantastic. Great to have you join us. We have also got Mr. Smiler back on, otherwise known as Cheerful Chris. I see that your plant's still healthy in the background there, mate.
It's not my plant, Dave, but unfortunately it's healthy, yes.
Fantastic. And how are you after yesterday? Good? Glad the season's over?
Yes, I'm glad the last segment of the season is over. Well, I pretty much been saying what I thought was going to happen, and it bar a sort of scrappy win against Luton, it pretty much went the way I thought it was going to. So I'm glad that's finished, and look forward to what the summer brings us, I guess, with indeed, a bit of intrepidation, but we'll see.
Absolutely, mate. And we've got joining us again, representing the youth. We've got young Lucas digging out the old red strawberry Wolves shirt tonight, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Dave. Are you?
Fantastic. And how was your weekend?
It was good. My team got promoted to Division 2 now, so it was a good weekend.
Your team that I came and watched you play in the cup final?
Yeah.
And you've got promoted as well?
Yeah, I scored the goal to get us promoted, so it's all good.
Hopefully you got a bit more of the game time because you were pretty useful when you come. You scored the winner, did you?
Yeah, I started, came off with a bit of a knock, come back on, then scored.
Absolutely, mate. Well, I'm so glad that you've had a great season, and of course you're part of the Always Wolves Academy. So we've got to wait another couple of years until we can get you in the team when you're 18. So that'd be fantastic. Finally, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by a very good friend and also organiser of one of the best Wolves podcasts as well. That's Dan from the Wolves Fancast. Thanks for joining us tonight, Dan. I much appreciate coming over onto here for a bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dave. Nice to meet the rest of you. Wolves is our team, isn't it? Season's ended a bit sour, but we go again in the summer.
We do. And the reason I've got Dan's joining us tonight as well, because, you know, Dan is a bit of a fundraiser as well. He's got a very big passion to help with mental health. And on Friday at Molyneux, there's a charity game that's taking place, organised by Dan. I thought straight off, Dan, whilst we're getting it, and we will talk about it a little bit more later on in the show, if you could let everyone know about this. And I'll just put this up on the screen there. This is the Content Classico charity football game for Mind, isn't it? Organised on Friday.
Yeah, that's it, Dan. This is the second year in a row that we've done the Content Classico. The third time we've actually done a charity game at Molyneux, which you were involved in the first time as well. So it's a privilege, isn't it, to play at Molyneux. We've all paid good money, which is all going towards the mental health charity Mind. If anyone can actually donate, the website is www.justgiving.com/page/WolvesFancastCCC24. If you can't donate, just share the link. It's all about trying to raise as much money as possible, but as a minimum, just trying to raise a bit of awareness towards the condition and just try and reduce a bit of stigma towards it, because everyone suffers in their own ways and we're all going to try and stick together where we can and try and push us all on in our day-to-day lives.
Absolutely. Now, the website's up there. The link to this is actually in the description below this video. We will talk a little bit more about this later on in the show, but like it is basically for an absolutely fantastic cause. I am taking part. Dan's asked me to take part. I'm on the opposing side on Upload United, along with a lot of other content creators from Liverpool, Arsenal, United, and loads more that are going to be there. And as I say, we're all coming together to support this event. To hopefully raise awareness, which is very important, mental health and stuff like that, and also raise a little bit of funds to what is an important charity. And Dan, we'll talk a little bit more later on in the show about how Mind do help and what the money goes towards and stuff like that. So, yeah, so fantastic show tonight. Great guests. We're going to kick off, of course, with the game yesterday. It ended up Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, Liverpool 2. That wasn't the whole story, of course. You know, down to 10 men after 30 minutes. I think that's Wolves, you know, someone will probably tell me in the chat the statos amongst us, but I think that's the 10th sending off we've had in 2 years or something like that. Crazy. Semedo sent off, you know, probably was a red, but it was a bit, it wasn't probably, well, maybe it was an orange really more than a red. Dan, Jack, let's go to you first, mate. were you there yesterday?
Yeah, we went up, yeah. Just obviously can tick the set off, isn't it, really? We've not missed many this year. So, yeah, nice to go up. And obviously it was a nice occasion as well, wasn't it? I think, you know, we sort of said in the build-up, you know, we were a bit of a sideshow. You know, we had very, very little coverage in the build-up. It was all about Klopp, et cetera, wasn't it? And so it felt a little bit like a bit, I don't like the term free hit, but it was kind of one of them where I think whatever we did, we weren't the story. You know, if we'd have gone there and won 5-0, it would have still been about Klopp and Liverpool. And so it was kind of just, let's just go and see what we're capable of and test ourselves against a really good side. And actually, I know you mentioned the red card there. I thought 11 versus 11, our game plan was working. We were keeping them fairly contained. We had a couple of decent chances on the break. But yeah, the red card completely sort of flipped the momentum. They got a lift. We had to sit back. We had to change the shape slightly. And we just didn't really recover from that, did we?
No, I mean, you know, Chris, I thought for the first sort of like 28 minutes, we were doing okay. I thought we were doing okay. I thought the performances haven't been brilliant the last few games. But I thought we were doing all right. I thought Semedo was having a really good game as well. Obviously, the red card kind of changed the game straight away. It's hard enough playing away at Anfield against Liverpool anytime, especially on the occasion of, you know, Clough's last match. They desperately want to win. And then we're down to 10 men. And then for about 10 minutes after that, we're a bit all at sea. But the second half, I thought we did really well and actually created a couple of decent opportunities as well, Chris.
Yeah, I thought, in general, I thought the performance was okay. I mean, it was a red. It was a definite red. And unfortunately, that kind of, the game was up after then. It, you know, we weren't going to really get much out of the game. I do want to mention the manager's substitutions. I thought,
yeah, absolutely.
I thought that I thought he missed the trick. I thought the minute Semedo went off, we should have brought Doherty on, and it proved when Doherty came on, that left-hand side that they were attacking us down, it stopped. Bellegarde wasn't really covering the fullback when he was the winger, and Semedo was getting overrun a little bit, although Semedo was handling it quite well. And then I can't, for the life of me, fathom out why the manager thought, I don't know, I'll play Bellegarde as right back. I get the break-in from attack mode and he's got the pace, but it was a poor tactical decision, and it gave us a little bit of disarray for 10-15 minutes, and they maximized that, and we never really were going to get back in the game, although we tried very hard afterwards.
To be fair, Chris, I think that's a really, really good point you make, because we were talking about this, funnily enough, on the way back in the car about Bellegarde, who was doing all right up forward. And he tried a few runs and stuff like that. He was definitely up for it. But like, as you say, he's not a wing-back, is he? And we did get exposed. We're going to come to you first, Lucas, and then Dan for his thoughts. Lucas, you've heard the points of, Jack and Chris. Good points on Bellegarde, do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Chris. Gary should have known that the pace Liverpool have got on the left-hand side with Salah and the abilities he has got, it was silly to have that space open with Bellegarde playing as a wing-back. If she brought on Doherty and kept Bellegarde in the midfield, it would have been a completely different game, because Doherty, which he has been proven to do, is show the attacker out and get the ball up. And then what Liverpool were doing, they were just getting the ball, countering on that right-hand side, which we were weak on. So I think I agree with Chris 100% that Gary just made mistakes yesterday and obviously cost us.
Yeah, good point. Any other things that you noticed from the game yesterday before we move on to Dan? with his observations?
I think Liverpool had something to play for. Wolves didn't really have that much to play for, even though we looked good for the first half an hour. After Nelson's red card, we just gave up. It was like, we have nothing to play for, so what's the point of showing up?
Yeah, interesting. Dan, you've heard the shouts from Jack, Chris and Lucas there. I'm sure you've got some points that you probably want to add there and some observations of your own on the game yesterday. And you might also want to add some observations over the last few weeks and the whole season from your thoughts on how it's gone as well.
No, I think I could take sort of... I'll agree and disagree with some of the comments. I think Jack and yourself, we contained Liverpool pretty well across the game. I thought the shot stats don't look very favourable on our terms. I think Gallagher something like 36 shots in total Liverpool did, but a lot of them was from distance. I thought that first half an hour, like you mentioned, we were sort of not going toe to toe. I thought we were well in the game until Samadou gets sent off. Huang missed a good chance, and I'm not sure whether that was at 0-0 or 1-0. I think it was 0-0.
Yeah, he was put through. It was a good break, wasn't he? He got through on the left. He was a little bit wide and he kind of slightly missed it, and the keeper turned it round for a corner. I don't know whether it was just going past the post, but that was a good opportunity for Wang, really, with his pace and strength, which probably he should have done a little bit better with. But yeah, what did you make of the red card itself? Definite red card for you, or was it one of them?
I think we've all sort of accepted that it's a red card. I know that there'll be Wolves fans out there going, the referee's given a yellow card and how dare he be sent to the monitor to have it changed. But if that's against Wolves, I want a red card. That's the way you've got to perceive things for me. If the boot's on the other foot, how do you want the referee making that decision? And for me, it's a red card. I've seen the problem still is the consistency with refereeing, because there's been challenges that have been possibly worse than that this season that haven't had red cards. But for me, like I just said, if that's against a Wolves player, it's a red card for me. And then there's another situation where I think Virgil van Dijk bundles Cunha over in the box.
Is that when he goes on his long run?
Yeah.
He literally runs the length of the pitch into the thing and then he's bundled. I think that's Gary O'Neill kind of referenced that he felt that we potentially should have had a penalty.
Same situation. If that's Kilman on Salah, it's a penalty.
Yeah. I don't even think that got even checked by VAR, you know, because it just didn't seem to. It was a great run. We know that Matheus Cunha can sort of make those runs as well. And it was a really, really good run with the ball, something that we've seen. In fact, he did very similar. The first game of the season against United, he did a lot of that. And he run us up the pitch. And obviously, it's not given. It's waved away. If it's the other end, like what you're saying, the Liverpool fans are screaming for a penalty and potentially the referee probably caves in and gives it. But because it being Wolves, he sort of like waves it away and we go again, don't we? Unfortunately, it's like you say, the consistency is the thing really. Bigger, you know, the Semedo probably was a red card. He wasn't massively out of control, like you see some that are lunging in and really catch him his legs out, but he does catch him full leg on the ankle. So when it goes to the review, it's always going to be given, isn't it? The referee initially didn't give the yellow, did he? Gave a yellow.
Yeah, exactly. It's annoying because we all just want the game to be refereed once, but there's constant situations there where the game's being re-refereed by guys who are 40, 50, 100 miles away in a flipping little studio in Milton Keynes, and it's turning the game. So they probably made the right decision in the end, but I still feel like the referee who's the man in charge on the day has more of a feel of the game than some guys 100 miles away. Can we go back to the point about Gary O'Neill's tactical subs? Because I understand where sort of Colin and Lucas was coming from, saying that, you know, it was a bit frustrating not bringing Doherty on sooner. And I think Lucas mentioned about the sub not being made earlier probably cost us on the day. We got beat 2-0 by Liverpool, playing with 10 men for over an hour. If you would have brought Doherty on and we would have lost that game 4-5-0, then you would have blamed Gary O'Neill for bringing that substitution on. Then for me, I applauded his bravery in still trying to give Liverpool a game on the counter-attack instead of just rolling over and losing 4-5-0 with Doherty at right back.
That's a really good point, actually. Chris, do you want to come back on that? Because you made that first point about Balogun. I think that's a really good point.
I don't think I don't think keeping Bellegarde on the pitch would have kept it at 2-0 anyway. So I don't really agree with that at all. I think that...
We lost 2-0.
Eh?
But we lost 2-0, so that's the situation, isn't it? He kept Bellegarde on.
No, we took him off.
Yeah, what time did you take him off?
About 61 minutes.
So he played half an hour with Bellegarde at right back.
Do you think Bellegarde's before... right back?
I've not said that though, have I?
Well, you just said that you'd rather him play instead of Doherty. That's.
I'll just give you an example that for a half an hour, Bellegarde was playing right back and we lost 2-0. Doherty played right back at half an hour and we lost 2-0.
We didn't lose any goals when Doherty came on the pitch. You just answered your
question. We were still trying to give Liverpool a game instead of just rolling over.
I don't think bringing Doherty is trying to roll over the game, it's stemming the flow of attack.
Actually, we still got the same scoreline.
Yeah, we didn't make it worse.
I think it's an interesting one because I think what Dan's trying to say is like that he tried to get the attack in. I mean, I thought we had some really good opportunities in the second half with Doherty on. I mean, he did score actually. He was fractionally offside. Pedro Neto came on and probably gave us a little bit of something. I think, I don't know, how close was that offside, by the way, with Doherty? I haven't watched it back. How close was it? Because it seemed to take for an age.
Not that far, Dave. It was minuscule, really. It was not much. They're saying if it had been the new system, he probably wouldn't have been off, but it isn't, and it was. So.
It was a good edit, to be fair. Jack, obviously, coming back to you on something, Ryan Aitnouri, second half, he passes it to Matthias Kuhner when he's cut inside the keeper. Why didn't he shoot? It looked to me, if that was me, he's done the hard bit. He's took the keeper out of the picture, just chip it into the net, and he passes it to Kuhner. Is that just because he's not a striker?
I was kind of going to make that point. Yeah, I think we've had a couple of situations. If you go back to sort of when we played Villa, and Aitnouri went through, didn't he? And he sort of smacked the ball straight at Martinez. And then the week after at Burnley, he went through on goal, didn't he? And hit the goalkeeper rather than sort of... He's not necessarily got that composure yet. For the you know, like you say, a seasoned striker, when they're cut inside and the defender commits and the space just opens up, they just take a breath and they just pick their side, don't they? Whereas Aitnouri was a little bit not sure what to do. And I think he saw Cunha and thought, oh, he knows what to do. I'll just give him the ball. But Cunha wasn't expecting it. No. So took a touch to try and settle himself, by which time Van Dijk's got back across and the chance has gone, hasn't it? So... I mean, the only disappointment for me really with Aitnouri is we didn't get to see him and Neto together on the pitch. I thought that would have been nice for the last 15, 20 minutes because you could see the difference Neto made as soon as he came on because they dropped 5-10 yards back so they didn't get caught and then we had a little bit more space to play in. Boubacar Traore was great when he came on because he just got in the way. He was disrupting their flow and he was bringing us forward up the pitch. So, you know, that Aitnouri chance and slash Cunha chance was a really pivotal moment for me because it could have set up a very nervy finish. But it's just one of those things. I think we're going to have to take that with Aitnouri. He's a really talented, skillful footballer, but sometimes he just doesn't have that just breath and just that composure just to go, right, what do I need to do with the ball here? He's kind of looking all the time and thinking, have I got a trick? And we've had players like that in the past, haven't we, where, you know, you're sitting there thinking, just take a breath, but they just don't do it, do they? And that's what you get with footballers. You know, if he was, is he 22?
He's only a babby, isn't he?
If he got the ability that he's got now and that composure as well, he'd already be playing at Liverpool, Manchester City, you know, Bayern Munich, those kind of teams, wouldn't he? So it's up to us as a football club to kind of get him up to those levels in those kind of moments where he's not quite as strong. So, but there's no doubt there's a really good footballer there.
Yeah, I think he tried to do the right thing in some ways. He thought, well, he's pass it over to Cunha and he'll have a tapping, but I don't think he saw it. But like, he saw the goal that he scored against Coventry in the cup. He didn't even think, bang. He just came to him and he smacked it. He opened it up. He knew what he was going to do. And then I think at the last minute, he changed his mind. And I was like, swear the goal was late. And the keeper he'd sent him, he only had to put it on target, really. It was in. Lucas, I mean, from your point of view with that, do you think that was a missed opportunity? I mean, at the end of the day, second half, I thought we were fantastic against Liverpool with 10 men. I mean, when we went 2-0 down in quick succession, two goals in 5 minutes after the adjustment and Liverpool got that one with, I think it was McAllister, or was it that scored the first one? And then it was bundled in the second one within five. I thought, here we go, it could be 6, 7, 8. So I was really, really impressed with the second half and the fact that we did create a couple of opportunities. Obviously, the Doherty goal just offside, good header. And then the one from Rayan Aitnori as well. A couple of missed opportunities. At the end of the day, obviously, the game, it kind of like it was a meaningless game other than winning maybe a couple of million pounds, which would have been nice. How did you think you feel about the second half and how we performed?
I think we played really well. If Cunha scored that, I think we could have got another one and then it would have been a great game to watch. It was the second half, but I think if Cunha scored that chance, then we had the passion because the fans would have got behind the players like usual. If we got one, they would have got another one 100% and gave Liverpool a good test, which we did the second half, but we needed that one goal that Cunha missed.
Absolutely. Dan, just coming back onto you, Rayan Aitnori, do you think he'll be here next year? And also, I think you put a tweet out earlier on. I think I saw a tweet about Pedro Neto, 60 million or do one. I think you were saying, basically, weren't you?
That's pretty much the gist of it. I put it out over a week ago. I've been saying it for about 2 or 3 months on the Fancast, is that you look at the wingers in the Premier League this season, Antony at Man United, 89 million. Mudrick at Chelsea, I think, was 83 million. Sancho, 79 million. Even if Pedro Neto was injured for 25% of the season, he still does bigger numbers than those three that I've mentioned. So anything less than £60 million for me is really bad business. He's got 3 years left on his contract. The clubs that are going to come in for him, they'll have bigger squads, so they'll have the option to rotate him, so he's less likely to get injured. We don't need to sell him because he's got 3 years left on his contract. It's £60 million, or go and find yourself another winger. For me, I don't want him to leave, but he's the one player who I think Wolves should and could get the most money for out of the players that you mentioned, Neto, Aitnori, João Gomes. Those are going to be the three that, for me, that I'm most likely to be taken. I think Cunha might have gone for big money this summer if he hadn't gotten injured, the form that he was in until he got injured.
And Kilman's another one that potentially is an English centre-back. So, you could, I mean, gets to people have been, I mean, Lincoln United and places like that. You know, Jack, Dan was talking there and you were nodding away about what he was saying. Do you want to just add a little bit to that?
No, I agree. I think, you know, going back to kind of the start of this season, we were in a position where we needed to sell players to comply with financial fair play or profit and sustainability, whatever its kind of guise is. Whereas this summer, you know, our budget will be dictated by the money that comes in, but we're in control of that. You know, we're not having to sell the crown jewels, if you like last year with Neves and Nunes. You know, if no one makes a bid for Neto that we think is acceptable, he doesn't go. The same with Aitnori, the same with Gomes, Kilman, Saar, whoever it is that teams want. If they don't make the asking price, we don't sell them. Because we don't want to be seen as a soft touch by the other clubs, because then they'll be coming in for all the players because they know Wolves will let you, oh, they'll accept 5 million under the asking price if you ask them nicely. You don't want to be seen as a club that does that. And equally, you know, players are coming in like Neto, like Gomes, and they want to, you know, improve and build to these bigger clubs, don't they? So actually, we want to be saying to these, we value you so highly. If a big club comes in with a big offer, we'll let you go, but it's got to be on our terms. And so I think it's an important summer for us to kind of re-establish ourselves as a really good club that do things the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. Your good feeling. Do you think Neto will be here come the end of the transfer window? All four of you? Yes or no?
I don't think he'll be here. No, I think we'll get someone that will match the 60, 65 million that we want.
Chris, you're saying no.
I think he's... I agree with Dan. We need to get as much as we can for him and all those players he's mentioned. I think he's one behind Cole Palmer in his assist and goal contributions this year, and he's played, you know, substantially less more. So it's got to be that sort of money. But I got a sneaking feeling that he'll be on his way, and I don't think that'll be the end of it this summer.
Lucas, any thoughts? Or insight, because sometimes I know you have a bit.
I think I haven't heard nothing, but I think a big club that's going to come into him, they're going to look at his injury record and they're going to probably have better facilities that can treat his hamstring problems, maybe. Could have something in the training ground that helps the hamstrings get stronger. I don't know. But I think he will be gone and the big clubs will help him.
Yeah, Dan, obviously, is there any other players that you think, you know, will be sort of gone in the summer? And there any like players that, from your point of view, you'd love us to bring in that you've sort of like, it was you, any sort of suggestions on like players that you'd like to bring in? I mean, what is your thoughts on Che Adams, for example, on a free?
I think Che Adams is probably a sensible bit of recruitment. I feel like the market that we're probably in for incomings this summer isn't as sort of as vast as the fan base like to think. We're not going to have a war chest to spend whatever outgoings fees we bring in. So yeah, I think Che Adams is probably a sensible move. A striker like that in January might have got us over the line against Coventry in that game. It's frustrating, really, but I think it's just up to Matt Hobbs to earn his money this summer. Jeff Shee's like sort of come out and said that we're comfortable with money now. We don't need to sell massively. We're quite comfortable. So yeah, it's up to Matt Hobbs and Gary O'Neill to get their heads together and, you know, build a profile list of players that, I think Gary mentioned it yesterday, players that want to play for the club. I don't need marquee 30, 40 million pound signings. I want players who want to run through walls for Gary. Similar to Mick McCarthy, when we got promoted in the Championship, young and hungry players. Tommy Doyle's coming for cheap money. I think he's another good addition to the squad. If you look at sort of Craig Dawson and Mario Lemina, both under 10 million pound and part of our main spine of the squad. So as long as we can add to that, bringing a couple of young players to make the squad better on match day. I don't see it being a bad summer because I feel like the thing that's really letting the club down at the moment is the players that are coming through the academy. They're just not anywhere near Premier League level for me.
Yeah, the only one that's really shown anything for me is that Chihuahua, when he's been involved. I think he's probably the only one. Fraser's looked a little bit lost, hasn't he, when he's come on, unfortunately, Fraser, as much as he's tried.
Yeah, they've been thrown under the bus, haven't they? Fraser and Chihuahua. Chihuahua did okay in that game at home to Arsenal, but he's sort of similar to me that first couple of years when Gibbs White was playing for us in the Championship. He needs a loan out for me, Chihuahua does next season, to try and build up a bit of physical resilience to his game time, and then obviously just learn his craft playing week in, week out before trying to make a move for the first team the summer after in the pre-season.
Absolutely.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jack, so we're going to go on to man of the match now, a performance rating and your moment of the day. What are the three for you?
I think performance rating, I kind of went with a 6 because I thought we were okay. We were competitive, but again, there was moments where, you know, we just weren't quite sharp. I mean, there were a few times where they put the ball in the box and our clearances were so lazy and so half-hearted, and I just thought, just put your foot through it. And then equally, we had a couple of really good opportunities to attack and we just chose the wrong option, which we've just discussed. So it was it was a decent performance, but probably no more, to be honest. And I think, you know, going on to my man of the match, I thought it was Jose Sa, because I thought he made some very good saves and probably did keep the score down to 2-0. They had a couple of very good opportunities. I think they had the crossbar, didn't they, from pretty much crossbar 3 yards out.
And I don't think he quite went over the line, did it? It was just
No. So, you know, I'm sure if Liverpool have their version of this, they'll be sat there thinking, oh, we could have had 3 or 4 or 5 in that game with the chances we had. So sometimes we have to kind of think about it a little bit like that. We're saying, you know, we were competitive and we did well, but Liverpool will probably be saying, oh, we left a couple of goals out there. And part of that was Sa, wasn't it, making some very good saves. Highlight of the day, I'm going to kind of take it away from Wolves a little bit and kind of talk about the atmosphere at Anfield, because we've been there quite a few times recently and the atmosphere is never as good as the media like you to believe. But I thought yesterday it was. I thought that they were really, really good. Their fans got behind their team, made it very noisy, which is kind of what you kind of expect from Anfield, but you don't always get. So, I thought the atmosphere yesterday was really good. And it was nice for us as almost like the outsiders, gate crashing the party a little bit, wasn't it, to be there and witness that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well said, mate. Well said. Yeah, it was a good atmosphere at Anfield, Jesse. It was a beautiful sunny day. The sound carries more always on a sunny day. You know, obviously it was an emotional for if you're a Liverpool fan with Klopp and everything, and they were well up for it, singing and stuff, trying to give him a good send-off. So, you know, generally it was a good atmosphere. I thought the Wolves fans, as always, sang their hearts out and played a good role. And there's a lot of Wolves fans that stayed back at the end as well to pay their respects and sat and watched what was going on as well. So that was quite nice. And there's quite a few Liverpool fans that have actually reached out and said how great it was that the Wolves fans, how respectful they were for the occasion, and that they appreciated that quite a few stayed back to watch and were very respectful whilst it was going on. And I thought that was quite nice from them as well. Chris, man of the match performance rating, moment of the day, or what made you smile?
Nothing makes you smile, Dave, you know that.
I call you cheerful, Chris, mate.
I think everything Jack said, yeah, I'm in the same place. I think Sa showed what we missed against Crystal Palace straight away. You know, he's had a bit of bad stick sometimes this season, Sa, and people have clamoured for Bentley to come in, and I wasn't quite sure what that was about. But you know, he saved us. He saved our bacon on quite a number of occasions. So I agree with Jack. And it's a 6 or 7 for me, I think. You know,
that's 6.5 then.
Yeah, or 6.6, if you like. Okay. I think, you know, the sending off did the game, really, didn't it, for us? But I can't really argue with the efforts they put in yesterday. I thought it was a good battling performance.
Good to see.
And I'm not into the romantics of Klopp leaving. I'm not into all that. So that wasn't my highlight of the day. My highlight of the day was seeing Mateus Nunes celebrate winning the Premier League dressed in a training bib.
The only thing really he's done there to win that title is get splinters in his bum and break his finger, to be fair. And there he is posing with the thing. I don't know how many minutes he's played, does it? Or if he even quite, but yeah, anyway, less said about him. Lucas, to you, same questions.
I have to agree with Jack and Chris. I think it was a 6. We're just missing something at the back, which is Dawson. That leader qualities, we're just missing that. Somebody that can get the defence under control when the teams are causing the pressure and getting us out when we need to be, because I don't think Kilman has good leadership qualities yet. He might in a few more years, but he just needs some experience at the side of him for a few more years.
Would you have Kilman as captain next year, or would you make the change? Because a lot of people said about Kilman, like with the captaincy, he's not very vocal, is he? Would you stick? Or would you sometimes, like, you see people that have got that responsibility and it really weighs heavy on them? Or would you switch it up as someone like Lamina or Kuna or someone like that, or even Dawson?
Yeah, I would try to switch up next season. I'd probably try Jose or Lamina, as you said, because with Jose, you can see the whole pitch as well. And Lamina's vocal, as you can see, he's always shouting them on and stuff. So I'd try one of them too as captain, 100%.
Okay. And what was your moment of the day? And don't forget, it could be anything. It could be just having a bag of chips.
I think just hearing the final whistle for both games, my game and the Wolves game, because now the season's finished, we can have a nice rest and come back in the summer and be stronger.
Nice one. Dan, over to you. First of all, before we start, what's your thoughts on Kilman as captain? He's a young man. We know he's very proud of being captain, and it's been something that's been talked about a lot. Do you think it weighs heavy on him, or would you think he'll grow into the role, or is something you think it might potentially make a change for next season as captain on the pitch? What's your thoughts on
that? I personally think the only way Kilman isn't captain for the first game of next season if he's sold, and I wouldn't be against him being sold this summer. I feel like another player who could bring in good money. I don't really think the captain sees as big a talking point as the time it gets given on all of our channels, to be honest. I feel like if your team hasn't got four to five leaders in its starting line most weeks, you struggle across the season. So I think sort of Lamina or maybe even Matheus Cunha would be my captain next season if Kilman was to go. I think Cunha leads from the front. I feel like he's got that much enthusiasm. He's obviously a good character within the dressing room, similar to Mario Lamina. But I don't really feel like Kilman's done himself a disservice. Everyone used to slag Conor Cody for being the shouty man, and now you've got a calm and relaxed captain. I don't know what everyone wants as a fan base. You can't have both. I feel like Kilman does a good enough job. He has missed Dawson next to him from an organisation point of view.
A lot better with someone like a Dawson or a Cody next to him. He seems a lot more secure.
Yeah, same situation. I mean, like Craig Dawson's been called for numerous times to be captain, but I don't feel Craig Dawson as a person needs that armband to be the leader in that defence. It's just one of them. I feel like it's too big of a talking point. And if you haven't got four or five leaders, you won't do anything across a 38-game season.
It's a really good answer. Really good answer. Okay, so your man of the match, a performance rated and moment of the day for you. And so with moments of the day, it could just be having a beer or a curry, mate. It doesn't have to be
the football. I feel like the performance is probably like a 7 out of 10. I thought we did ourselves an all right bit of justice playing with 10 men for over an hour. We had chances on the bracket, like Lucas mentioned. That chance Cunha had to make it 2-1, they might have got a little bit nervy if that had gone in. And then, you know, you've played for over an hour with 10 men and you've come away from Anfield with a 2-1 loss, or you might have even nicked something in the end. It would have been a really good performance. Jose Sarr was probably man of the match, but to like sort of quote Roy Keane, that's his job. He's supposed to save shots. That's his job. But I don't feel like he can't not give Jose man of the match. I don't feel like he made any proper worldy saves, and they were all decent arm length stretch saves. There wasn't really like clawing ones off the line and then saving the rebound and then getting another. He did his job really well yesterday, so I feel it'd be harsh to not give him the man of the match award for yesterday. Moment of the day was the rumour that the Everton fans spread around the Emirates that West Ham had equalised.
Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's proper top banter.
I was in a serious minority that would rather Liverpool won the title over Arsenal. And I've still got so much bitterness towards Arsenal since that Bruno Lage season where we were pushing for the Champions League and we lost to Arsenal twice in a month. I'm still sore about that, so I really didn't want to see Arsenal in the league. Man City are still the best of all evils for me. I don't know enough Man City fans to get annoyed but with jealousy that they've won the league. So anyone but Arsenal it was for me.
Anyone but Arsenal, fair play. Right then, moving on from that, obviously, we're going to just now look at... I'll just put it back up on the screen. So we've got well over 300 of you watching live. If you do want to get involved in the chat, just make sure you hit that subscribe button and you can get your comments on there. What now then? What now for you then, Dan? Now the season's done.
Big mashup Molyneux on Friday. We go again.
We do have a big mash on Friday. We're going to go and talk a little bit more about that. From the Wolves' perspective, though, Dan, what's the minimum you expect during the summer for you?
I think it's get rid of us the marquee name players that are out on loan, get them off the wage bill, try and get good money in for them. Fabio Silva, Gonçalo Guedes, we need those two to get off the wage bill this summer and try and get some good money for both of them. Armin, I don't know what sort of percentage is with the fan base at the moment, because he's been in that good form recently, was a key player in knocking Villa out of the Conference League. I'd have Daniel Podence back, but I feel like the ship's probably sailed with Daniel Podence. So that's another player we need to try and get.
Agreeing with you there, Paul Williams there says, like, get Podence back. I think, you know, he did have a little bit of a, you know, Podence can have a little bit of an attitude. I mean, remember the pre-season, I think 2 or 3 years ago, and he started 2 fights and something like that. He is a bit feisty. How much do you think we could get for Podence? 10, 15 million? Or do you think, like, Gary O'Neill would get him back and have a chat with him? Because on his day, he can be a really, really good player if he's really motivated. But he can throw his, you know, rattle out the pram, corner as well.
Yeah, he's a little shit like me, Dave, but that's what I love about him. But I think it's been reported that he's got a €6 million release clause or an option. But Olympiacos don't want to play for me. €6 million is a joke of a fee for a player who's got the ability that he has. He's so forward thinking. He never wants to go backwards or sideways. He always wants to create something. Like you mentioned, he's feisty. He's always tenacious. There'll be games. For me, similar to Pablo Sarabia, there's styles, certain styles make certain games. You need players that can unlock defences, and we've struggled against teams that play with a low block for so long now. I feel that he's that sort of player that Wolves need. But when the game's where you need to sort of be fast on the break and be a bit resilient defensively, he probably doesn't fit that style of play. And then you look at sort of Fabio Silva, don't you? And I think Yerson Mosquera got mentioned in the comments earlier. It seems like he wants to stay at Villarreal. It's a big summer on outgoings. How much money we can get out the door will be key to what allows Matt Hobbs and Gary O'Neill to bring in the players that hopefully Gary asked for and not is given. Like, that's what happens with sort of Bruno Lage, really. He got sort of forced to have Gonçalo Guedes, and that was like £30 million of our transfer budget. That was massively swept away. So they need to get the window right. It's massive.
Massive, and obviously Matt Hobbs has come in since then, and he's done a reasonably good job since he's come. But it is a really big, pivotal summer. I'm going to just ask you three all the same question, and then we'll move on a little again. Daniel Podence, it's obviously, you know, the season's finished with Olympiacos. He is still a Wolves player. He's been loaned out. He will have to come back to pre-season to Wolves. Jack, would you integrate him back in the squad if you were the manager and he was kind of motivated to, you know, giving him a fresh start? What would you say? Or would you just try and get as much money? I also think £6 million is not very much for Daniel Podence either, for someone of his ability.
No, it's probably on the low side, isn't it? But whether we did that in order for them to take him on loan because we wanted the wages off the book, you know, sometimes clubs do that, don't they? They give quite a low permanent option just so that the loaning club will pay a higher chunk of the wages when they go out on loan. It's a difficult one. I've never kind of disliked Podence's ability, but I've always kind of had a bit of a thing with some of his attitude and some of his antics, you know, some of the diving and the sort of, you know, that kind of thing, which, you know, we can all kind of get on our high horses and things, can't we, and kind of come across as holier than thou. But I think it rests on O'Neill, really, doesn't it? I think if O'Neill sees a player there that he thinks he can work with, and there's a player there that wants to come back and work with O'Neill, then there's no reason why it can't work. But it's got to be, both parties have got to be open to it, haven't they? If O'Neill doesn't want Podence, they've got to move him on. If Podence doesn't want to come back, then you can't force him to come back and you know, kicking his heels and sort of wasting and prattling about in training and stuff like that. So if both parties are willing to kind of have a go, then why not? But personally, I don't think it's something that's going to happen.
Chris,
Dave, we spent the last 5 months bemoaning that our squad is too small. We haven't got players. We've got no changes. We've got nothing to change the team. Nobody to bring on. Nobody to change the game. Nobody to do anything different. So if this lad isn't going to be sold and $6 million's a joke for him, then I think we should be trying to utilise him. Unless it's irreparable, whatever's gone on with him and he's the person that O'Neill's referring to. I don't think it is. I think it's Fabio Silva. I think we should be trying to make use of him. He's much better for us, I think, in our squad than $6 million in the bank.
Like it. Lucas, your take?
I think during pre-season, give him an opportunity, give him the option. Do you want to come back to Wolves? Give us a go. If not, let him go. Offer him to Olympiacos and say, he doesn't want to play for Wolves. Do you want to have him? And then if he says, okay, we'll give it a go, put him in starting for a few pre-season games. If he doesn't fit our play style, just say to him, you don't fit.
Did he fall out with Gary O'Neill or was it Lopetegui that he sort of it all started to go dingy? Was it O'Neill or was it Lopetegui where the attitude started? I don't know. I mean, Gary, he went.
But I think it was Lopetegui.
Was it? Yeah. So he might see it as a fresh start under Gary O'Neill. And Dan, I'd say you'd have him back then if you could.
I'd have him back, yeah. Like I've said, he's Chris just mentioned, he's look at the times that we've had to sort of call upon like Torreira this season. If it would have been sort of Sarabia or Podens coming off the bench in that sort of same position, I felt like we would have sure that's a more of a benefit than what a current academy player is. I agree, like, there is sort of attitude problems that he's got. I feel like he's similar to me, he's got short man syndrome. He thinks he's better than he is. He is trouble. But you look past seasons, he scored some really important goals for Wolves. His creation stats are pretty impressive. And you know, you're looking at Daniel Podens that's played in some really lacking attacking style over the last 2-3 years, even under sort of Nuno. We weren't sort of going full throttle attack at times, were we? So he was still getting decent numbers for those sides then. So what can he do under Gary O'Neill? And touching on the comment that Jack made about his attitude and diving, that narrative that he dives a lot is so skewed, because if you're a guy who's 5'3" and you're getting touched by a guy who's like 3 or 4 stone heavier, you're going down, trust me, I know this.
But the other thing as well, Dave, is, you know, as much as people say, oh, his attitude and he's a little, you know, shit and does this and that, if he's on our side and he's winding the other players up,
all pay for Brighton.
Well, more pay for Brighton. David Speedy showing me age a little bit. These little get under your skin. If he's on our side, getting under the opposition, well, that's working as well. So I've never really been anti-Podens. I just don't understand what happened with him. And if like I say, if it's repairable, then I think that's what we should do.
Fantastic. Guys, if you've got any questions before we finish, just bang them in the chat. We're going to be asking everyone in a second for a sports anecdote, their favourite other sports or any little stories and stuff that they got from other sports or from football. I know Chris has got one. But we're going to go back to Dan now to talk about the charity event, the Content Classico 2024, which is raising money for Mind Charity. Just going to delve a little bit more into this, Dan, if you wouldn't mind, to tell people a little bit what this is all about again, how you came to partner with Mind and how the money can go to help, if anyone can donate. And the link is in the description on this video, and it will be on the podcast as well if you're listening to it on the podcast.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, this is like the third charity game that we've done at Molineux. Mine's always been the charity that we've worked alongside. We feel mental health is a thing that's hit so many people. I've had my issues with it. I know loads of people who've suffered with the mental health issues, and you know, typical standard blokes, aren't we? We do a lot of bottling of things up. We don't talk enough. We could talk about football for 24/7. But talking about our day-to-day lives, our issues, whether it's, you know, work-related stress, financial stress, love life, sexuality, whatever it is. We all suffer with our own issues, but we don't talk enough. And just talking to your mates, checking in on your mates on a day-to-day basis doesn't cost you anything. It's just giving that bit of energy, that bit of positive energy to the community that you reside in. It's massively important. We've got a couple of mental health episodes where we've worked alongside the Wolves Foundation on our Wolves Fancast podcast platform, where we talk about just strategies to help you get through day-to-day basis. And Mind's a big charity for us, so yeah, we're fundraising for them again. And you can find their website, I think it is at www.mind.org.uk, and you can see some of the stuff they do there in regards to sort of workshops and just step-by-step guides to try and get you through your day-to-day basis. As I said, you've got to keep talking to each other and checking in on your mates, because like I said, it costs nothing to check in on your mates.
Absolutely, mate. And, you know, it's a really, really good thing that you're doing in organising this. The link is on the screen there. It's if you listen to it on the podcast, just on audio, it's justgiving.com/page/WolvesFancast CCC24. The link is in the description below. If you can afford to drop a couple of quid, a fiver or a tenner or whatever you can afford, that all goes towards a really, really great cause. We've all, you know, at some point in our lives, we all have traumas that happen in our life. I know from my point of view, you know, I lost my mom just before the start of the season this year, and it's really, really affected me very bad emotionally. You know, and my dad, seeing my dad upset and crying and stuff like that. We all have things that happen in our lives that causes trauma. And you never know when you're going to need a little bit of help. So if you can chip in, and as I say, we are playing on the football. We've all paid to be able to play, and obviously making our own donations in terms of like that money going towards the charity. But it needs other people to chip in onto that link as well, if you can. And I will be pushing this throughout the rest of the week and doing a bit of social on it as well, and doing something post to highlight this. So please get involved. One final thing on that from you, Dan. You know, there's only so many people that can come and watch, can't they? I think it's have all the tickets been sold for people to go and watch now?
There's still plenty of tickets left. If you drop us a DM at Wolves Fancast on any of the social media, we'll try and fit you in. We're asking for sort of £5 donations for you to come and watch. Wolves have capped us to 100 spectators due to health and safety, so there isn't a massive amount left. But yeah, it's anything that people can do, any sort of donations, massively appreciated. Everyone's suffering with the cost of living crisis. Even if you can just share the link that Dave just posted on the screen as a minimum, it would massively help, because we need to try and just spread as much awareness as we can. And yeah, like I said, it's going to be a good day. We all want to win, but it's all about the charity at the end of the day, raising good money for the cause. But if you can just spread the link as a minimum, that would be all I can ask for on tonight's episode.
Absolutely. And thanks ever so much for coming on to talk about it. I'll just put it back on the link there for you guys. And as I say, just to remind you, if you do want to quickly find it in the description, there's over 300 of you watching live now, but there'll be like a couple of thousand more that watch this back, and there'll be another couple of thousand I'll listen to it on the audio. The link is in the description of the video or of the podcast, and the podcast will go out tomorrow morning. Right then, just to finish off with a little bit of fun, we'll start with you first, Jack. Either favourite other sport or a football anecdote. Antidote is a different thing altogether. That you want to share.
Favourite other sport is probably cricket, and it's quite handy because just as the football season finishes, the cricket season's just getting up and running. So obviously lots going on in the cricket world at the minute. Obviously the England team are doing okay. The 2020 World Cup's coming up in the USA and West Indies in the next sort of 2-3 weeks. So hopefully we are the holders, so hopefully we can do well there. And I think, you know, cricket kind of, there's a nice overlap. So I think if people are looking for something to do over the summer, get yourself down to Edgbaston or New Road, depending on which part of the Black Country you're from, and go and support some cricket.
Nice one. Chris, now you can go on your favourite other sport, but I do want you to tell everyone about your ultras thing because I think that's quite cool.
Well, favourite other sports, obviously F1, as you know. So I'm going to Silverstone this summer for the British Grand Prix, part of Army Motorsport, which I support, the company I work for support. Cricket as well. Jack, I was at Lords on Thursday, just gone. Managed to get in the green room and sat underneath the picture of Rachel A.O. Flint and had a picture of it in one of the posh chairs in the big change room. That was quite interesting walking around there. Cricket wasn't very good. It rained most of the day, but that was fine. But yeah, the ultra thing that you're referring to. So I'm going over to watch England in the Euros, 13th of June, start on the trip. I'm also meeting up with the ultras from Fortuna Dusseldorf. That all sounds very dark and sinister, ultras. It isn't. Ultras are just really what they call supporters clubs. I'm going to have the wording they've used, direct translation, because I speak German, is interview with them. But I don't really think anything. I think it's a chat. Because what I want to try and do is go and watch Fortuna Dusseldorf play a couple of games next year.
Why is Dusseldorf for you such a... Because people won't know. Why is that?
Well, I lived in Dusseldorf from 1976 to 1986. Played for various Stadt and affiliated teams as a youth, and so they're my team. I didn't follow the big boys, the Bayerns or the Hamburgs at that time. Ormond and Gladbach, who were also close, I was a Dusseldorf fan. They're very much where a yo-yo club like Wolves, and it's a one-city club, so they're very similar in kind of stature. So I want to try and get over there and watch them play. But it's quite hard. You can get a nice ticket side of the pitch and just go and watch a match, but I want to be in where they're you know, they've got the megaphones and drums and all that lot. And it's quite weird because that's not controlled by the club. All those seats and access into that area is actually controlled by the ultras, and it's all done. That you can't get in without speaking to them, and they self-steward it and everything. So I'm going to meet up with those guys and try and organise getting out there next year. And hopefully, come the 27th of May, we'll have won the playoffs, because they're in the playoffs to get promoted back to the Bundesliga.
If they ask you to smile, though, you're done, aren't you? Literally.
If they give me a bratwurst or a currywurst, I'll smile, mate.
Fantastic. Lucas and then Dan, other sports, and football antidote. And congratulations on your promotion, Lucas, and the cup win as well.
Thank you. I think since Christmas, I've been watching darts, and I enjoy playing darts as well. So I think darts is up there. And I'm starting to watch a bit of golf, because I want to start a bit playing it. I go to the range every so often, but I want to start playing it properly. So golf as well.
And what about you, mate, Dan? Any other sports that you partake in or watch?
My favourite sport, apart from football, is boxing. I feel like the politics of boxing over the last however many years has been soured with with some poor judging scorecards. But I felt like Saturday night's fight between Fury and Usyk was another decent fight. I met Floyd Mayweather a few years ago, and he's still one of the most amazing people I've ever met in person. Similar to like meeting Nuno, when you're in the presence of someone and they make you feel an extra foot taller, I'm all for being around those sort of people. And for just a quick anecdote, because I don't want to bore people, Chris mentioned Rachel Hale Flint a minute ago, and got to be about 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago now, we used to tease my dad that he used to fancy Rachel Hale Flint. And every time we saw Rachel Hale Flint outside the Molyneux, we'd ask her for her autograph and make her sign it out to my dad. So I thought that was a nice little anecdote, mentioning Rachel Hale Flint.
Absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. For me, obviously, those of you that know, when I was younger, I used to play a lot of table tennis, table tennis for England, actually, and played a lot of county. But these days, if I can get the chance to go and play someone at tennis, I do like my tennis. Went to Wimbledon last year, which was great. We actually got tickets for the women's final and the men's doubles final at Centre Court tickets, which is hard to get. You put into the ballot and you just hope. And we got in there. So if you have a game of tennis or a tennis, just let me know, because I'm always up for a game of tennis over on West Park. And it's good to it gets the old heart going as well. Finally, just to finish off on, you know, what are you looking forward to most, Jack, now the football season has finished? And then we're just going to just a short paragraph and before we close.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to the Euros. I know we just said the football's finished, but it hasn't quite, has it? I mean, the football never really finishes, does it? You know, and I was talking at work earlier, you know, and they're having a go at me because I genuinely think England have got a really good chance of winning the Euros, and they go, we never do, but I think this time we might just have a good chance. So, yeah, looking forward to that. So, you know, that's obviously a couple of weeks off, isn't it? And then, you know, we'll start looking forward to that. I always love a major tournament.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is that similar to you, Chris?
Well, obviously, I'm going. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, what I'm looking forward to this summer, I think more with hope, is this big reset that we all think needs to happen. I think we need to address all of this loanies, players out. We need to get the squad. We need to strip it all back and rebuild it and you know, start again with O'Neill and let him have his you know, magic wand on the team and see where he can go. And I'm really looking forward to that happening. I'm really not looking forward to it not happening.
Absolutely. Well, time will tell. Lucas, final words for the summer for you. What are you looking forward to?
Just having a nice rest. Been a long season. It's just nice to have a rest, watch England, then restart it all again in August.
Nice one. And finally, to you, Dan.
Lucas, you should have been resting at your age. This shirt's older than you. I'm looking forward to that charity match on Friday, Jay. That's its big thing. I've got a wedding in a few weeks in Tuscany for my friend TJ and Cheska, and they're big fans of yours, Dave. So that'll be good to go to in Tuscany in a few weeks. And yeah, I'm not really looking forward to the Euros, Jack. I'm fed up of being let down by Wolves. I don't need another team on top.
Again, yeah, it's always like the same with England, isn't it? Let's hope it'll be different this year. But a bit like Wolves, you can't count on it, can you? Guys, listen, thanks ever so much for joining. We've done it in one hit tonight, just over an hour. I hope you've really enjoyed it. Obviously, it's Monday night, a bit different to the normal time that we do this. Thank you ever so much to Jack, Chris, Lucas, and to Dan coming on and making his debut. Just to remind you again, the charity match is Friday. It is a big fundraiser for Mind. You know, please, you know, over the next few days, when you can, donate if you can, support it if you can. And if you have got mental health problems or something, at least reach out to someone to help, because that's the most important thing about that. And so, yeah, from all of us to all of you, all the best wishes, love and best wishes to all of you, wherever you're watching or listening to this back or watching it on catch up. Always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.